This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It is now time for Cowboys insider Mike Fisher, who moved, kind enough to move for our Atlanta Crosstalk at 720. If you missed Mike McCarthy's debut on our show for the weekly visit, you'll hear it again at 8:40. You're going to want to listen to it here on your home for America's team as we get you ready for the Cowboys and the Falcons. And Fish, Mike McCarthy told us earlier this morning he was not alarmed yet by the status of Tyron Smith. What does that mean with the neck injury that caused Tyron to miss practice yesterday?
Yeah, that's one big Mike McCarthy story this morning. Another one is what he's going to do to the 6 a.m. club, because I have seen your numbers. Congratulations again. And now the 6 a.m. numbers are going to go through the roof thanks to Mike McCarthy. So seriously, congratulations to the fan and thank you to the Tolos. He's telling the truth. The Cowboys think that this is going to work out. And so don't be too alarmed yet. We'll get an update later. But the fact that Tyron Smith was fine on Wednesday and then was unable to practice on Thursday due to a neck is absolutely worth monitoring. And even if everything works out fine by Sunday, and you know how Tyron is, by now we know this, he'll tape an aspirin to this and he'll play, and he'll play well. It still should cause the Cowboys to be a little bit alarmed about the tackle situation in general. No Lyle Collins. No practice for Tyron Smith. Eric Smith on practice squad. Brian Broaddus doesn't think he can play a lick. Terrence Steele, a young guy who's not ready for this. Brandon Knight, a young guy who hasn't established that he's ready for this. Cam Irving also hurt. So this is a trouble spot that maybe, just maybe, the Cowboys can get fixed at left tackle. But Cowboy fans are haunted by the last time you had a Tyron Smith tackle problem against the Atlanta Falcons, and you got Chaz Green, and you don't want to do that again.
Yeah, Mike, this game just gives me all sorts of concern of the Cowboys. We haven't even talked about the Cowboys' secondary against these receivers who all had 100-yard games. Now, a lot of that was garbage time because they were getting their butts whipped by Seattle. What did McCarthy tell you guys about maybe Trayvon Diggs covering Julio?
Yeah, and this will be turned into bulletin board material, of course, and it shouldn't be. He didn't mean it that way. He said it very carefully. I have tremendous respect for Julio Jones. He's a Hall of Famer, blah, blah, blah. But we're not going to be afraid to put our cornerbacks on their receivers because we have to. But in the case of Trayvon Diggs, that he's earned the starting job, and he says, I won't hesitate a bit to have Diggs cover Julio Jones. As you point out, though, you better worry about Julio Jones. You better worry about Calvin Ridley. You better worry about Matty Ryan finding all sorts of targets, because that Falcons team at some point offensively is going to break out. So will, by the way, the Cowboys team. Both of them are coming off losses that they find disappointing for a lot of ways, garbage yards being a part of that. But one of these days, these two teams are going to start scoring 30 points in a game. Maybe that day is Sunday.
Fish, do you think there was any talk about having Diggs play someone else and, letting, Julio's going to get his regardless of who's on him or what they do to him. It's Ridley, it's the other guys that you want to stop because they're stoppable. Julio's not really stoppable. Was there any talk about something like that?
And I don't think, Chop, that we've seen enough yet. Maybe Brian Broaddus can watch film and speak to this, but I think it's too early for the rest of us. does Mike McCarthy, do these cornerbacks going to spend the year, do they travel? Do they go to the other side? Because traditionally that's not how they've done it here. You know, do you assign a guy to a guy or you just stay on your side? And I don't know that the Cowboys' full plans have been revealed there, but your point's a good one. I think if you decide, let's Julio Jones is so good, let's focus on him. Well, there's a lot of people, especially if you're a fantasy football guy, you recognize this. Calvin Ridley is on the verge of doing the same things. So you've got all kinds of problems there. Their tight end can play. There, obviously, Todd Gurley can do all kinds of things out of the backfield. So there's a lot of weaponry here. I go back and look at that Seattle game and wonder why was Atlanta unable to do some of the things they can normally do on offense, which is a track meet. And I hate to bring this up again, but the main reason they weren't able to do what they normally do is because of Jamal Adams. And if you watch the game, you know what I'm talking about. Jamal Adams in that game, 12 tackles, 2 hits on the quarterback, a sack, was all over the ball. And maybe the Cowboys just need to come up with their version of Jamal Adams, and they'll be fine this week.
Mike Fisher, Cowboys insider right here on 105.3 The Fan. Fish, Mike McCarthy had a good chuckle this morning when we asked him about all the talk about motioning and analytics and all the things that go into that stuff. I don't know if you got a chance to hear him completely, but what did he tell you guys about the lack of motion in week one?
Well, I don't see what's so funny about it. And McCarthy's already, and he's kind of using it as a defense mechanism. What he said yesterday was, as part of an answer, Sean, that was the longest answer he's given to any question in his tenure as the Cowboys coach. With all due respect, you know, when you ask somebody a question, and it was Machota and myself, that all we asked was 2 questions, and the answer is like 10 minutes long, you wonder if the guy answering the question is really comfortable with what he's saying. Because it's, I'm not saying it's a yes or no answer, but you can answer it in 3 sentences. And he took 300 sentences. Part of it was, we're not going to do pre-snap motion just to satisfy the media. And then we all laughed. Well, no, coach, we're not asking. First of all, I'm not demanding they do pre-snap motion. My question is about why didn't you? What do you think of it? What have you done in the past? What's your philosophy of it in general for this team? That's not a laughable question. That's a sensible question, I think. The Cowboy fans who want pre-snap motion, or Cowboy media or analysts, they want it because they think it works. And they look at the league and see all the good teams do it and all the bad teams don't. and so that, you know, even to a simpleton like myself, that merits the question about it. And so, no, coach, we don't want you to do pre-snap motion because it amuses us. We want to know if you think it works. Part of his answer yesterday, reflecting, Sean, on Aaron Rodgers saying, you know, Mike didn't really like it. He said, when I was in New Orleans as the offensive coordinator, we were doing pre-snap motion coming off the bus. So it's not that he doesn't like it. I think he views it as situational. I hope Sunday merits a situation.
Has anyone asked Dak if he likes it?
Not to my knowledge, but we'll put that on the hot list. You know, one of the beauties of what we do.
Maybe relevant.
Show, yeah. Oh, it is absolutely relevant. This is one of the beauties of social media and the beauties of what we do on this show. The subjects like this come up at 8:08, and then they get asked at 11:38. So it's a good setup. It's a good question, and we'll get it asked.
I guess my question on that is, if they don't do any, if he doesn't like it, if it's philosophically something that he doesn't like to do, or it's something that Dak doesn't want to do, or it was just something that Aaron Rodgers didn't like to do, you know, we make a mountain out of some molehills that really don't matter. And there's no way to prove, I guess, that it really matters. I mean, it's been 1 week. We have never seen this charted, Sean, right? Like, I've never seen the amount of times pre-snap motion is used charted.
Maybe
it started last year. You know, it's really possible the coach is right that it's kind of overrated. It doesn't really matter how many times you do it.
Well, here's where it started for me. When the Rams, 2 years ago, were coming out with the same 11 guys, lining up almost the same way, And so everything looked the same, and then everything was different once they snapped the ball or once they pre-snapped the ball. And that's when I think the league started saying that they're on to something there. It's deceptive. It tricks the defense. It exposes the defense into who's covering who and what they're in. And then on top of that, it causes the defense to go, oh, wait a minute, you got him. No, I got him. No, wait a minute, who? And here's where the numbers, Chop, I think, establish that there's value there. If you go look at teams last week and last year that use the most pre-snap motion, they are the winningest teams. They are the, I don't have this in front of me, but they're the Patriots, the Saints, Baltimore, Kansas City, all the teams that win. Now, maybe that's not why they win,
right?
But it seems to me that borrowing a page from the teams that score, I would just do whatever all the teams that score 30 every week. If I'm a team that keeps scoring 17, I would go borrow from the 30s.
I know, but Mike, I can also, you used the term earlier, simpleton. I think that's the perfect thing because, you know, instead of us looking at, we used to look at a score sheet, a stat sheet, right? And we look at turnovers and time of possession. And this is a good thing because we're all becoming more advanced and learning more about our favorite sport. But now we're looking at first down runs and how many times you go in motion to determine whether you won or lost. And I can see how a real football guy like Mike McCarthy, who knows 1 million times more than any of us combined, laughs at that because we come on here Monday morning and we're guilty of it too. And we say, well, you didn't go in motion, so that's why you lost. You know, like we're simplifying it, and it really is kind of dumb to a degree.
It's dumb because we could simplify it even more and be even more right. If you kick the field goal, you tie the game and maybe you win it after that.
All right.
I agree with you on that, Fish. I agree with you on that.
Don't do that, Sean. Don't do that.
Or Choppy, to just take us out of this, score 8, score 21 points, so and then you win the game. Whether you use pre-snap motion or two guys in the backfield or ran a double reverse. So, Sean, you're right about that. But that doesn't make it laughable on the part of the coach because he himself admitted he used to do pre-snap motion a lot. So he used to like it. And now he thinks it's a joke. The truth's got to be somewhere in the middle.
Mike Fisher here on the Fan. What's your pick for this game and why?
I would really love to think that it's windshield wiper time for the Cowboys, that they can just outscore you. You score a touchdown, fine. We'll score two. But I'm not convinced. All they do is talk about it, and they don't do it yet. But I will pick the Cowboys to win at home. The benefit of the home crowd, I think, will be in play. So give me Cowboys 27, Falcons 24.
Fish, how concerned are you about – why is this lingering again with Amari Cooper?
Yeah, maybe this is why that his five-year contract is really just a two-year contract. Because this week it's a foot, and last week it was a hamstring, and next week it'll be a groin, and the week after that it'll be a quad. And by the way, that's not a diss on Amari. He plays every Sunday, and then he goes to the Pro Bowl. But it's absolutely troubling that for now one and a half years, Amari Cooper very rarely has a healthy week. And while he will go out on Sunday and he'll catch six balls for 88 yards and a touchdown and go to the Pro Bowl, it's troubling for this reason, I guess. Imagine what he would do if he was healthy.
Yeah.
Imagine what he would do if he didn't have a toe, a heel, an ankle, a foot, another foot, a knee, a groin, a quad, a shoulder. And so that's bothersome, and it bothered the Cowboys enough to give him this gigantic $100 million contract that's really a $40 million contract.
What's up with Zeke's bowling shoes?
Yeah, this was really cool. He teamed up with Main Event, and I was privileged enough. They sent me the goodies. So it's a box set of bowling shoes that are also, you know, you can walk around normal in them. And they're Stay Hungry, and they're Feed Zeke, and they benefit the North Texas Food Bank. So Zeke's going to auction off a pair of those shoes and a signed jersey. I think we should all, because we beat up these guys all the time, especially when they lose. But in DFW in particular, from Mark Cuban on down to Zeke Elliott over here and Dak Prescott and Dirk Nowitzki, you know, the guys that pitch in to help the community, it's a long list of them, and Zeke deserves attention for being on that list. So good for you, Zeke. Let's go bowling. Thank you, Main Event, for letting 105.3 The Fan play along.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.